in this week's episode of The Mount. We're back. It's me and Jason. We're here again. Still in the National League West, still climbing through that treacherous rock. We're here to talk about the San Francisco Giants, formerly the New York Giants, also currently going as the name that I have at the bottom of my screen, Los Gigantes, if it's Latin Heritage Night. This is the first one that we've done where there have been like 12 to 13 guys that could potentially make this Mount Rushmore. So it's excited to sit down with Jay to talk about obviously where we fall on this. Because this is the first one where I feel like we could have various answers throughout this entire thing. And it would make a ton of sense. Housekeeping duties before we get into the actual show. Please like, subscribe, thumbs up. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like, hit the bell for your notifications on when anything from Huddle Up Incorporated goes live. Producer Jim, you can follow him at Big Jim Sports. There is a link tree in his bio that'll take you to all things Huddle Up Incorporated, including the TeePublic store where you can buy any merchandise for the shows. I was on the Earnestly Speaking podcast, which was Tuesday, the 26th of March, where we discussed over-unders, win totals for 2024. So if you're into over-unders, check that out. I also give my prediction for who I think is going to win the American League, the National League, some major awards, and who I think is going to be the World Series champions. Looking at you, Baltimore Orioles.
Whoa.
Orioles, Braves, World Series?
I'd be down with that. We were close to that last year.
That was my formal prediction, was Orioles versus Braves in the World Series. So
yeah, I'm totally down with that.
Check that over on Ernest's YouTube page or the Earnestly Speaking network on any of your major podcast catchers. All right, Jay, we're here to talk Los Gigantes. Tell me why JT Snow and Rich Aurelia and, you know, Jeff Kent have made your Mount Rushmore.
I mean, well, those are the obvious ones. Can we talk about the fourth person?
I mean, if it's not.
It's Rob Nen.
Ooh, that's a great pick. It's a great pick.
Dude, I know.
Such a good pick.
This is tough. This was a tough one. This was probably, I mean, just because they're one of the older franchises and you have to go back to New York. So it's like, there's just so many options. And this is our first real challenge, I think, aside from like the fourth Colorado Rocky, I think was like a challenge. Because I think we pretty much had a similar slate for the other teams. We should probably document these.
I have everything documented in an Excel spreadsheet. We had the exact same lineup for the Rockies. We had the exact same lineup for the Padres. And our only difference is I had
Charlie. No, because didn't. Oh yeah, Rockies. We had different. You had Blackman.
I had Blackman. You had Dante Bichette.
Yeah.
So that's been our only difference so far. Is that one? There may be some differences on tonight's show. I don't know what yours list is. You don't know what my list is. But before we get too deep into this, let's get right to the guys that we have on the list. I think the first piece of the Mount Rushmore is the guy who owns the home run record. Barry Lamar Bonds in 15 seasons.
Asterisk.
Asterisk. Here it is. 15 seasons in San Francisco. He hit 312 with a 477 on base, had 1,951 hits, 381 of which were doubles, 41 triples, 586 home runs as a member of the Giants, 1,440 RBIs, 1,947 walks, won four MVPs in a row, 12-time All-Star, 5 Gold Gloves, 9 Silver Sluggers, and a cumulative WAR of 112.5.
Yeah, can we just put him in the hall already?
I mean, here's the thing, and we're going to go down the steroid discussion here, I guess, for a second. How is he not in the Hall of Fame? Like, I get it, like, rah, 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 rah. But this is also not just steroids to me. This is, like, back in the 90s, there wasn't this normalizing, like, players not talking to the media and players being, you know, worried about their mental health and things along those lines, where today there are a lot of people that are very proactive about that and want people, if they're not okay, to tell people that they're not okay and don't force people to talk to people they don't want to. I can remember times where people were like, I will not vote for Barry Bonds to be in the Hall of Fame because he didn't give me that interview that one time whenever they were playing in fucking Atlanta. And I'm like, so because Barry Bonds told me, I don't want to talk to you, means that's going to cost him your Hall of Fame vote. Take that fucking vote away from that guy.
Yeah.
This isn't the Hall of interviews. It's the Hall of what he did on the fucking field.
Yeah. And I feel like the Hall of Fame voting process has always been just really stupid in general.
I will say the last couple of years with them releasing the votes, I do like that because those people need to be held accountable. Because if there are people that are just being spiteful just to spite, then we need to get them out of the fucking voting polls altogether.
You know, yeah, it's very subjective, and
there's no reason why Barry Bonds should not be in the Hall of Fame other than people who have never played the game of baseball think, well, he had to do steroids. It was in a report, so fuck him.
Yeah, I mean he definitely did steroids. But
I mean, his head did.
I just think the steroid. I don't know. That's my opinion. My opinion is, I don't care if he did steroids.
I mean, it was an era in baseball where most did them. It's not like he was the only person to do them.
Right, and still, it's not like steroids or not. You still got to hit the ball.
Yeah,
you still got to hit 95, 99 mile per hour pitches. And also, my other gripe with the Hall of Fame is we still have people like – I heard a story that Ty Cobb once hired, like, some black guy to jump onto a top of a dugout and, like, perform for people, and they would, like, throw peanuts at him and stuff because he was, like, super racist. Something like that. Maybe it wasn't Ty Cobb, but, like, people in the Hall of Fame that did stuff like that. And it's like, just get with the times. If we're going to look past all that, we should probably look past –
yeah, yeah. If we're gonna let the most like racist of racist people into the Hall of Fame and stay in the Hall of Fame,
right?
We're really dying on the sword of because somebody stuck a needle in their ass. You know that like that's the problem.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry. That one just that just doesn't make any fucking sense to me. I'm gonna take it that you have Mr. Barry Lamar on your list as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Felt like that might be the easiest one we talk about on this show.
Yeah, I mean, next one's Willie Mays.
Yeah, I have Willie on mine too, so that makes a lot of sense.
Which I am upset I spelled Willie Mays Hayes' name incorrect. I just put an E on Mays for no reason. I didn't notice it until we started.
Don't worry, I fixed it.
But there we go. Coincidentally, the actor that played Willie Mays Hayes also played Bobby Rayburn.
Ooh.
San Francisco Giants legend.
The Fan.
Yeah, that's a messed up movie. Pretty good, though.
Willie in 21 seasons as a member of the Giants hit .304 with a .385 on base percentage. He had 3,187 hits. 504 of which were doubles, 139 triples, his 646 home runs, 1,859 RBIs. He had 1,394 walks, two MVPs, was a 23-time All-Star, and has a cumulative WAR as a member of the Giants of 154.6.
So he's actually the all-time leader in Giants WAR, but that's just because Barry Bonds had other years in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
But that's interesting to note. And also, so yeah, he played there 22 years, 21 years.
Wild.
21 years in San Fran, 2 years as a Met, which people forget about.
Everybody remembers that Mets tenure.
He also took a year off to be in the military, and that's pretty sick. He probably could have hit 700. He might have hit 700 home runs if he didn't do that. Who knows?
He did. He did take off the 1953 season. He won the Rookie of the Year in 1951. Then in 52, he played in 34 games before branching off into the military. His first season back, the 54 season, he won the MVP. Finished fourth the following year, was basically in the top 20 of the MVP from 1954 when he won it up until 1967. Every other year he was in the top six with the exception of the 1956 season. He then had a third place finish in 66, was not in the top 20 in 67, was 13th in 68, and then he had a 19th place finish as a member of the Giants in 71. He was then started the 72 season as a member of the Giants before going to the Mets and finishing up his season as a member of the Metropolitans. I want to look at that, though, real quick before we continue on our Giants. He was traded from San Francisco to the New York Mets for $50,000 and Charlie Williams, a right-handed pitcher who finished with a career record of 23-22 with a 3.97 ERA in 268 games. He started 33 of those and had four saves. He had a rookie year in New York of 5-6. And then he had the rest of his career, he was a member of the Giants. Kind of weird when you look at it that they traded him for a 24-year-old kid in 50 G's.
Yeah, he'd been in the major leagues for longer than that kid was alive almost.
Close.
Couple of things to note that I'm looking at on Baseball Reference. Well, first of all, also had 11 gold gloves, which is nuts. And I guess they're including Negro League stats. No, so I won, but he didn't have any home runs. And then also, I'm wondering how many players actually played for the New York Giants and the New York Mets.
Ooh, that's a good number. That's a good guess.
I think you could probably, that's probably like an immaculate grid type question.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That really feels like a grid question.
But yeah, two no brainers so far.
I don't know. I think this might be where we start going a little different here.
All right, you go ahead.
Next up, in the number three member of this, not necessarily the number three player in Giants history, but I think you have to talk about Mel Ott. Mel Ott is who I have joining the list in 22 seasons. As a member of the Gigantes, he hit .304 with a .414 on base percentage. He had 2,876 hits, 488 doubles, 72 triples, 511 home runs, 1,860 RBIs, 1,708 walks, was a 12-time All-Star. He led the league in home runs on six different occasions and had a cumulative WAR of 110.9. Never won an MVP, but he did have 12 All-Star appearances. Basically, played his entire 22-year career as a member of the Giants. Had, I'm going to say, probably 10 plus top 10 or 20 finishes in the MVP race. I think when you think about Ott here, obviously one of, if not the best player in New York Giants history, So with it being giant Mount Rushmore, we have to go and we have to use that as well. And I think that that's where I stand with Mel Ott. He did win the, they did win a World Series in 1933. And he also played multiple positions. He played outfield. He played third base. You know, it was, like I said, 12-time All-Star. And I think the most impressive thing, obviously a Hall of Famer, he got 87.2% of the votes. He was on the ballot four times, didn't get in until the fourth vote. That's kind of fucking crazy. Yeah, he in 1949, the Baseball Writers Association of America, he got 61.4. Then there was a thing called runoff, which he got 68.4. In 1950, 68.5, and then 1951, he got 87.2% to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. WAR via position players, he led the National League in three different occasions in WAR via position player. You know, his offensive WAR, he led the league twice. His on-base percentage, he led the National League four times. I can't think. If you're thinking about a guy from an offensive perspective, Mel Ott really feels like this guy is a slam dunk for this Mount Rushmore.
Yep, I agree. I had him on mine too.
Oh, there it is. We held together for at least one more pick.
I think we're probably going to have the same fourth pick, but it's weird because like people don't associate Mel Ott. He wasn't like a very famous like Hall of Fame baseball player. Like when you think of all the players that played during his time, you don't really think of Mel Ott. And then you look at his numbers, and it's like, holy crap. But it's probably just because he was on the New York Giants. Well, but like, if you were to ask a current San Francisco Giants fan, like name the best Giants players in history, like I'm pretty sure Mel Ott's not going to be like one of the first few people that pops into mind. It's just weird. He's just a very obscure Hall of Famer that had ridiculous numbers that if he would have been on any other team, probably he would have been a lot more famous.
Yeah, I think the reality is if you ask a Giant fan, you know, obviously Barry and Willie are going to be up there. You know, a lot of fans today are going to mention guys like Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey because they watched them play over the last 15 seasons. You know, they're not there. They don't necessarily know who Mel Ott truly is unless they're an avid baseball fan that sits around and reads your baseball references and things like that. So I understand that a lot of people probably are going to be very confused on, you know, why we decided to go this route, at least from a why is Mel Ott on there and not potentially somebody like Buster Posey or a Madison Bumgarner. And I think it's because as avid baseball fans, we understand that while we may not have watched him play professional baseball, we have to respect the fact of how good of a professional baseball player he was.
Yeah, and even I remember growing up reading books about baseball and watching videos, and he just wasn't mentioned very often in all those, which is weird. Like, he doesn't have a – I don't think that – I just looked this up. There's no statue of him at the stadium or anything.
It's wild.
I don't know if there was any sort of, like, off-the-field issues that were – that he was a part of or anything or like that. I know he died.
Or is that just them being like, he was never a San Francisco Giant. He was a New York Giant, so we're not going to even think about it.
Right. But, I mean, I think they still have a – they have a Christy Mathewson statue? Probably not. Actually, you might be right. So those guys just don't get recognized.
Yeah, they were cool, I guess. It's kind of the way that it feels like they're just shelling them off. Who is your final member of the San Francisco Giant Mount Rushmore?
My final member is Christy Mathewson.
By G golly, we've done it.
We did it again. I mean it. Great minds think alike.
We have matched up on the San Francisco Giant Mount Rushmore. The Stat line for Mathewson, 17 seasons as a member of the Giants. He had a record of 372 and 188, an ERA of 2.12, a whip of 1.058, 2,507 strikeouts, and was a two-time Triple Crown winner from the pitching side of the Triple Crown. Had a couple of top, I'm looking right now. He had two top five finishes in the MVP. He had four total top 20 finishes. You know, this was all before the All-Star game. He won the Triple Crown in 1908, where he won 37 of the 44 games that he started. He threw 390 innings that year. He struck out 259 and had an ERA of 1.43. And his other Triple Crown year was 1905, 31-9 in 37 starts, 43 total appearances, had a 1.28 ERA, and had 206 strikeouts. And those actually just weren't even his best years when it comes to the voting for the MVP. His best MVP season, he went 26-13 in 1911 with a 1.99 ERA. He had 37 starts. He struck out 141, and he finished second in the MVP behind winner Frank Schuettel of the Chicago Cubs. So
yeah, I mean, he's just an all-timer. Like, he was on the first – I remember he was one of the first five that got elected in the Hall of Fame with – I think it was Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and or maybe his first three.
1936, the class, he was part of that first class. Ty Cobb, 98.2%. He got 222 votes. Babe Ruth, 215.
Wait, can I guess the other two?
Yep.
Oh, Honus Wagner.
Correct, 215 votes.
And I'm going
to
say –
it was Christy Mathewson in fourth, and the fifth person – received 83.6% of the votes. They needed 170 votes for election. They got 189.
Cy Young? No, it's not Cy Young.
Cy Young was
Walter Johnson?
Correct. Cobb, Ruth, Wagner,
it was like one of those guys.
And Walter Johnson were the final class. Of note, as I look at this first Hall of Fame class from the baseball writers, there is actually a member of this nominee class that finished inside of the top 25 that is not a Hall of Famer today.
Wait, say that again?
So there was 50 people up for nomination.
Okay.
To the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Right.
All but three of which got a vote. There is one person that got into the top 25 that is not a Hall of Famer today.
Someone on the Yankees?
He played for multiple teams. He played 9 seasons as a Yankee. He played 3 seasons in Cincinnati, 2 in Buffalo, 1 as a member of the White Sox, and 1 with the New York Giants.
Oh, wait. Is it Shoeless Joe?
Nope.
Damn, I thought that's who it was. I don't know. Just tell me.
Hal Chase was a first baseman for the Yankees. He is the only person that was in the top 25 of that voting that did not make the Hall of Fame. He received 11 total votes to get him 4.9% of the voting percentage. But there are multiple people who finished behind him that are in the Hall of Fame. So just kind of fascinating.
That is weird. A couple comments on Christy Mathewson. So he enlisted in the military after he retired.
At 30.
And I think he got gassed, I think, and contracted tuberculosis, and then he died in 1925. So he never even got to see himself go in the Hall of Fame. So he didn't even know Hall of Fame existed. Pretty unfortunate, but everything I've ever read about him was that he was just like a man of his country.
He died on October 7th, which is the day after my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Wild.
So, all right. So we had the same. It was Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, Mel Ott, Christy Mathewson, bunch of old heads and big heads, if you want to go with Barry Bonds. But, yeah, it's weird because if we're talking strictly San Francisco Giants, we could have – I think we said we could probably pick four New York Giants and four San Francisco Giants. You could easily pick four New York Giants. Even if you had to eliminate Willie Mays, you could throw in, like, Carl Hubble or something, and you're good.
So I'm reading the Wikipedia page of Mr. Mathewson. It says, late in the 1918 season, Mathewson enlisted in the Army during World War One. His wife was very much opposed to the decision, but Mathewson insisted on going. He served overseas as a captain of a newly formed chemical service, along with Ty Cobb. When he arrived in France, he was accidentally gassed during a chemical training exercise and developed tuberculosis, which most easily infected the lungs, damaged by the chemical gases. He served until February of 1919 and was discharged later that month. He returned to serve as coach of the Giants from 1919 to 1921, fighting the tuberculosis and things like that. In 23, Mathewson returned to professional baseball with the Boston Braves. He was like supposed to be like a principal owner, but his health deteriorated so much that he could only perform normal duties. So he turned over the presidency to Emil Futch. And then he passed away, in Saratoga Lake, New York, on October 7th, of the tuberculosis. He's buried in the Lewisburg Cemetery in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, adjacent to Bucknell, where he attended college. According to, baseball, some of Mathewson's last words to her wife were, "Now, Jane, I want you to go outside and have a good cry. Don't make it a long one. This can't be helped." Sad shit, obviously. Because
different times.
Don't cry. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. The Christy Mathewson story. As you were saying, we could do a all New York Giant, all San Francisco Giant one, because there are some pieces that we have left out of this. Obviously you mentioned Carl Hubble. There's Amos Russey, Bill
Frisch.
Yep. Mickey Welch is another name for the New York team.
Yeah, literally a bunch of people I've never ever heard of, which is insane.
You know, but then when you think about San Francisco, obviously Bonds and Mays still make that list. But then you have guys, Juan Marichal,
McCovey,
Buster Posey, Satchel Paige. Not Satchel Paige.
I think if we did a San Fran one, it would have to be
Bonds, Mays, McCovey, and who?
Marichal, probably. Or Gaylord Perry.
I mean,
Marichal's way more prevalent.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. You might get an argument from me about Madison Bumgarner.
I'm not seeing it.
11 years as a member of the Giants. His playoff contributions alone, where he won the 2014 NLCS MVP and World Series MVP, was 4-0 in the World Series with a 0.25 ERA in five games, four of which were starts. The other game that he appeared in, he also got a fucking save.
I think that at this point you could say that we could do a modern Giants.
I really think you could because
there's no way after looking at Juan Marichal's numbers that I'm ever picking Bumgarner over him.
I'm saying you might put Marichal in and I might put Bumgarner over Buster Posey.
Wait, no, we already had three other guys.
McCovey was the other one.
If you want to count Mays,
yes,
count Mays.
I feel like.
Yeah, but if we go like modern.
Modern, where Giants, it's
for like the next few, probably Bumgarner, Posey, Will Clark,
JT Snow,
Bobby Rayburn,
Rich Aurelia,
Jeff Kent,
Brandon Crawford.
Dude, Brandon Crawford's actually a sick one because he played there forever.
He really did. Now he's playing in St. Louis.
Best hair in the big leagues by far. Love that guy.
Love me some Beecroft.
I mean, hell, he's a three-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glover. Then there's people like some other pitchers in there, I'm sure.
Speaking of Brandon Crawford, the 2021 San Francisco Giants, 107-55, their best offensive player via graded WAR is Brandon Crawford at 6.1.
Oh, yeah, he had like his best year when he was like 30, how old was he?
They lost the NLDS 35. 3-2 to the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's when they lost to the Dodgers in the last game of the year on that play at first.
Yeah, we love us some Brandon Crawford. Career WAR of 29.6. He played 13 seasons as a member of the Giants, accumulating 1,392 hits. 290 doubles, had a fourth place finish in that in the MVP in 2021. That season, he hit .298, had 90 RBIs, 24 homers, 30 doubles, 145 hits. Yeah, pretty sick one.
Also, can't forget Matt Cain.
Ooh, that's another good one. You know, obviously you mentioned our good Rob Nen.
Man, yeah, dude, he's up there. And
who's the other
Gaylord fucking Perry's another one? Dude,
who's the other?
Have you looked at Juan? I'm like amazed by looking at Juan Marichal's stats right now, though. It's unreal.
Yeah, I actually have 14 seasons, 238-140, a 2.84 ERA, a WHIP of 1.095, 2,281 strikeouts, 9-time All Star, led the league in.
He had more complete games than wins.
That's wild.
What the hell is that?
That's wild.
And he had 200 strikeouts a bunch of times, but he threw like 300 innings. It's not even like a great strikeout ratio, but I don't know, man. He's different. He was different.
The other guys that missed the list, here's the stats. Willie McCovey in 19 seasons hit .274. Had a .377 on base percentage, 1,974 hits, 308 of which were doubles, 45 triples, 469 homers. He had 1,388 RBIs, had 1,168 walks, was a rookie of the year, an MVP, had a third place finish, 6-time All-Star, and on a cumulative WAR of 59.4. And the last one that, you know, made my list of recommendations was Buster Posey. Posey in 12 seasons, .302, .372 on base, 1,500 hits, 293 doubles, 9 triples, 158 homers, 729 RBIs, 540 walks, was a rookie of the year, 1 MVP, 7-time All-Star, 5-time Silver Slugger, a Gold Glove winner, was a member of 3 different World Series teams, and changed a rule that has now changed all of modern Major League Baseball.
Why do I not know what this is? Or do I do know what this is?
Collision rule.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
His leg was the one that got evaporated whenever he got fucking ran over at the plate.
Yep. So he's going to make the Hall of Fame. And there's a statue of McCovey, and there's McCovey's Cove, but we couldn't even put him on the list. It's crazy.
Oh, and by the way, Buster Posey sat out 2020 with to not be involved in COVID.
Well, COVID, what's that?
Step back, COVID. What year did he get his did he get run over at the plate?
I feel like it was his rookie year.
Well, his second year, he only played 45 games.
It was November. It was in May of 2011. So, yeah.
So May of 11.
Yep.
Yeah,
May 26th.
He played 45 games that season, and then the next season he won the MVP.
Came back with a vengeance, and then he won the World Series.
I'm not going to lie to you, though. His MVP year, like, I get it, he's a catcher, but that MVP year just doesn't. He hit 336, 24 homers, 39 doubles, 103 RBIs, had 178 hits.
I mean, when you're playing catcher and you do that and you hit 330, it's kind of hard to vote against that.
But I'm not – okay, I don't
– batting average is suspect to
– I don't disagree with you, but his WAR was 7.6. Second place was Ryan Braun. He had 108 runs, which was 30 more than Posey. He had 23 – he had 13 more hits. He had 191. He had 41 homers, 112 RBIs. He stole 30 bases. He walked six less times than Posey, hit 319, and had a better on-base plus slugging.
And he did steroids.
Third place was Andrew McCutchen. He played 157 games. He had 194 hits to lead the National League. He had 107 runs, 31 homers, 96 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, 70 walks, a 327 batting average, a 400 on-base percentage, and he didn't do steroids.
Pretty good numbers.
I get, like, Posey got 27 of the 30 first place votes that year. I think McCutchen and Braun at least have.
I'm fine with it.
At least I think it should have been closer, is what I'm saying. I don't think Posey was that big of a runaway winner with the MVP that year.
I don't know how good the. I know the Brewers were involved in the playoffs quite a bit back then. I know the Giants obviously won the World Series that year. I don't know if the Pirates were any good, but they tend to pick players that are on better teams.
Unless it's like Juan Soto or Aaron Judge this year, who everybody thinks is just going to fucking walk away with the.
I don't know. Juan Soto is going to hit 50 home runs.
And they're going to win.
Aaron Judge is going to get. Aaron Judge is going to get hurt.
They're going to win 55 games.
Yeah, so they're probably not going to win the MVP. At least with the Cy Young, like, they've started picking pitchers that are – they're literally just picking the best pitchers. They're not taking pitchers that have more wins or whatever.
So in that year, the Washington Nationals won the East with 98 wins. The Reds won the Central with 97. And the Giants won the West with 94. The Cardinals were the wild card team. They won 88 games. They beat the Brewers by 6 games and the Pirates by 12.
Okay.
Or 11, I guess. St. Louis defeated Atlanta in a 1-game wild card.
Oh, that was the – I remember that game. Was that the infield – that was the infield cry game, right? Yeah, I think so.
The Giants beat the Reds 3-2. The Cardinals beat the Nationals 3-2 after the Nationals collapsed. The Giants beat the Cardinals in 7 and then swept the Tigers in the 2012 World Series.
Tigers are back, man.
They're going to be a lot of fun this year, I think. I mean, I know they don't have Mickey, but I like Riley Green. I like Spencer Torkelson. You know, obviously, I think this is a year for Tarek Skubal. You know, I don't know why we're bridging off into Tiger Talk, but on the Giants show. I guess we're a day away from opening day as we record this. Real quick, the 2024 San Francisco Giants. This is what you're looking at from the Giants right now on the roster. Blake Snell, big offseason accusation.
Did you say accusation?
I think I did. I just looked at myself too. I was like, did I just say that? Acquisition. Dude,
it's a typo on the script. I see what happened.
Joey Bart, Patrick Bailey, Tom Murphy were the catchers in spring training. You got Marco Luciano, the top prospect. I expect him to be there at some point. Thyro Estrada, they signed Matt Chapman. I think he shores up that third base spot. They got J.D. Davis, they let J.D. Davis go. He's now in Oakland after signing Chapman. The outfield, another year of healthy. Michael Conforto will be big for them. Mike Yastrzemski, obviously. They signed Jung Ho Lee. He was the center fielder from Korea. They signed Jorge Soler. He should hit the ball 8,000 feet probably in that stadium. I'd be remiss if I didn't announce the fact that they brought back fucking Pablo Sandoval for a non-roster invitee. Fuck that fat fuck. Sorry, disgruntled Red Sox fan who's still mad they spent money on him. Starting pitchers, Jordan Hicks, Logan Webb, Kyle Harrison. They have obviously they brought in Blake Snell. This team could be competitive, or it could finish 10 games under 500 and their season be over in the middle of August.
I think that they have a couple of young pieces that might pan out. Estrada's not really that young anymore, but he's pretty good. And then you have guys like Casey Schmidt, who came up last year. And they have a decent rotation. Logan Webb and Snell, obviously, headlining that. So if they get anything from the rest of their starters, Kyle Harrison also is a pretty big prospect.
They'll bring Robbie Ray in eventually. Left-handed pitcher. From the injury.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have Robbie Ray, too. So he'll be back, mid-season, maybe?
Yeah.
But, yeah, their offense doesn't look so great. If Jung Ho Lee, pans out.
I mean, they're gonna be relying on Jung Ho Lee, Matt Chapman.
I guess they still have Yastrzemski.
I think this team, for this team to be competitive for a playoff spot, they're going to have to win games.
I don't think they're going to be able to compete with the Dodgers, for one, and the Diamondbacks. Or in the Padres. The Padres are still going to be decent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as future, I almost said 49ers, future Giants, possible superstars, I'm thinking Luis Matos, Kyle Harrison, Jung Ho Lee,
Luciano,
and Pablo Sandoval. Oh, yeah, Luciano. Yeah, I forgot about him.
Fuck that guy!
Those are guys we could be talking about for years, or they're just not going to pan out.
So those are probably the guys that you would say have a shot of breaking this Mount Rushmore, depending on career trajectory.
Yeah, and maybe Logan Webb if he stays there for a long portion of his career, because he's had a pretty good career so far.
I feel like this is the first one that I don't know that there's someone realistically that breaks into this Mount Rushmore.
Well, I mean, I just meant someone we can.
Yeah, I like Luciano. I like Logan Webb. I like Harrison, but
I don't think anybody's ever going to touch. No one's ever going to touch, all the Mays and Bonds and Melot type numbers.
That's what I'm saying. They would have a shot to crack the modern era. They would be able to take out a Rich Aurelia, a Brandon Crawford, you know, somebody like that.
Right.
You know, maybe if they're as good as a Madison Bumgarner, a Buster Posey, et cetera, you know, they could get into that level. But I don't think anyone's passing the four guys that we put on that list today.
Maybe Doval surpass Rob Nen one of these days.
You like saying Rob Nen. I like saying Rich Aurelia. It's been the San Francisco Giants.
Benito Santiago.
Ooh, that's another good one. Who was the other fucking closure that they had? He went to the Cubs.
2000s. Oh, Brian Wilson.
No. Not him. Fucking mullet.
Who?
Rod Beck.
Oh yeah, Rod Beck. I thought you said Mullen. You said
Mullen.
Oh, yeah, Rod Beck. Rod Beck was the GOAT. I feel like the Giants. We could also have a Mount Rushmore of Giants closers.
I mean, we probably could.
Yeah. Rob Nen. You got Rod Beck, Brian Wilson, and Camilo Doval. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good.
I don't even know who was there in the '80s.
Jesus.
Like, who was getting saves for the Giants in the '80s?
Did they win a lot of games in the '80s?
I don't know. That's what I'm like. I'm just going to look up like 1985 Giants and see who their closer was. It's not Dave Righetti. I thought it might have been Dave Righetti, but it's not him.
I mean, they were kind of mid in the early 80s.
They weren't great.
The 89 World Series, they made it to the series.
Who did they have in the 89 World Series?
I'm looking right now. I'm saying they made it to the World Series, got swept. Their closer for that was... Who the fuck? Craig?
Tim Lefferts?
Craig Lefetters.
Craig Geralt? Yeah, Craig Lefferts. Okay. And they had Steve Bedrosian.
So the left-handed out of Germany, a career war of 8.9. He pitched 3 years as a member of the Giants and accumulated 35 saves.
They had. It looks like they had a multitude of or closer by committee. In 1982, someone named Craig Minton had 30 saves and a 1.83 ERA.
Sick.
He had 30 saves and he pitched 123 innings. God, game was so different back then.
So in 1987, they made it to the NLCS. Their closer that year. I just want to see how many people had saves. Two guys had double digit saves. They had Scott Gerettles and Jeff Robbins. And then Lefferts had 4. Don Robinson.
Never heard of these people.
They had 38 total saves as a team. They probably didn't even know what the fuck saves were. They probably went back and watched this, like, looked at box scores and were like, oh, yeah, that's a save.
Like, that guy pitched 3 innings. That's a save.
Yeah, fuck it.
3 innings, but they had a 9-run lead. That's a save.
Yeah, he didn't give up a hit. Anything before we go on the Giants?
Nah, man, I'm done. I'm tapped on the Giants. There's too many.
All right.
Too many good ones.
Too many good Giants leaves us 49 minutes of exhaustion later. We'll be back for next week's episode, the final team of the NL West, and then we'll have we'll announce the all-time team on the 6th episode. But episode number 5 is the team that a lot of people are going to be talking about this year and have a very storied past. It's the Dodgers. Me and Jay will be back next week to talk Dodgers and the Mount Rushmore of the Brooklyn/LA franchise. Until next week, though, we will see you guys. Be safe. Enjoy opening week because this will probably get posted on like Saturday or Sunday. So I hope you guys enjoy opening week. Jay, anything before you go?
Nope. Thanks, everyone, for listening to us babble about the Giants for an hour.
We gone.
Please.